Well, thank you for your welcome. It's good to be back. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we can meet together. We can look at your word. I pray, Father, that it wouldn't just be me speaking, but Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to each one of us here today, that we'd be brought nearer to you. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to really understand the reason that Jesus came and he died and he rose again. We pray, Lord, that you'd just open our hearts and our understanding tonight. We ask this in your name. Amen. Well, I thought, well, what am I going to speak on? I thought, well, as a child, what is it? You get given facts, and my response was always, why? Why? But Mum, why? And your dad tells you off. Why? Why? And so tonight we're going to look at some whys about Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know all of you here. I know most of you. I don't know what you think about Jesus Christ. I don't know if you know why. The different questions we're going to look at. But hopefully tonight, each of us is going to be able to consider the reasons Jesus came, died, and rose again from the dead. So each question begins with, why on earth did Jesus, with something else afterwards. And the why on earth is because all three things are historical events that happened on earth. I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to prove to you that they happened, because they did happen. You can look in the history books for that. You don't have to speak to me. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on did they happen. We're going to say, why did they happen? Why on earth did Jesus do this, that, or the other? Firstly, why on earth did Jesus come? Why on earth did Jesus walk on this earth that we're walking on now? Not Great Britain, but this planet. Why did he come? Well, maybe to help us answer this question, first of all, we need to think of, well, where did he come from? You see, he turned up and he was about 30 when he started his ministry. And no one had seen anything like it. No one had heard anything like it. And no one has seen the miracles that he did, the effects that he had. No one had seen anything like it then. No one had seen anything like it in the past. No one's seen anything like it in the future. In our generation, no one has seen anything like the person of Jesus Christ. You get a coin out of your pocket and it's got his birthday on it. You buy a newspaper from any shop in Britain that sells newspapers and it'll all have Jesus Christ's birthday on it. You can look anywhere, you'll see crosses all over the country that have got something to do with Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has made the biggest mark on this planet that any man has ever made. And so why on earth did Jesus come? Well, where did he come from? Well, Jesus himself tells us, and I'm going to read a little verse from John chapter 8. And Jesus says, you are from beneath. He's talking to the people there. You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Jesus Christ says, talking to the people, you're from this world. You're earthlings, if you like. But I'm not. I am from above. And Jesus Christ himself claimed to be from heaven. He claimed to be sent from the Father and come to this world. So why on earth did a man claiming to be God, proving that he was God, a man who was God, why did he stoop to this earth and walk on it? Why? Why did the man who created this world and created the people in this world become his creation? Why did he take on what he created? Why? Have you ever thought about this? Maybe you've heard of Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been in nativity when we remember Jesus coming. But have you ever thought why he came? Was it just to be a good example? He certainly was a good example. There's no better example. Was that why he came? Just to show us that it could be done? No. He came, and we're going to have a little look at a verse on here. In John chapter 10, verse 10, he tells us plainly, there is no secrets with Jesus. He says, I have come that you may have life, and not just any life, and that you may have it more abundantly. You may have everlasting life, he calls it somewhere else in the Bible. I have come that you may have life. Well, you might be sitting in your seat thinking, well, I've got life. I've got all I need. I'm comfortable. I'm breathing. I'm sat listening to you. I can hear you perfectly well. I've got life. But you know, were you listening when Ian read before? Were you listening what he read to us from Ephesians chapter 2? The first verse tells us this, that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. Now what does that mean, we are dead in our trespasses and sins? That means that the sins we have, the sins we've committed, the sins that we've all committed, we all know we've committed sins, they have separated us from God. God said, didn't he, to Adam and Eve in the garden, the day you sin, you will die. Sin only ever results in death. That is the wages of sin, is death. And if you're a sinner here this morning, and I know you are, because I am, and I'm a human like you, we are dead in our trespasses and sins, the Bible says. And you know, a dead corpse cannot be made alive by itself, can it? Someone who's dead can't just become alive again. If you're dead, the only person who can help you is someone who's alive. And you know, Jesus Christ says, I've come, and he's risen again, and I've come so that I can give you life, so that I can bring you up from the dead, if you like, so I can resurrect you and save you from your sins. Let's have another little look at another verse. Now this, for me, is probably one of my favourite verses in the Bible. This is staggering. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've talked about grace already tonight. Grace is when God gives us something we don't deserve. So this is God's generosity to us. Now, it doesn't get any more generous than this. He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he was in heaven. He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He still is. He was in heaven. He was rich beyond imagination. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. For your sakes he became poor. Now, if you were told that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was going to come and walk on planet Earth, how would you imagine him to come? What kind of lifestyle would you imagine him to live? Well, you'd imagine him to have the biggest palace going, every possible luxury that this world could offer. But you know, Jesus Christ didn't have any of that. Jesus Christ was born in what I can only imagine is the worst place to be born, in a feeding trough for animals. He was born as the low of the low in society. In fact, that's why some of them wouldn't believe him. They said, well, he's from Nazareth, that slum. The low of the low in society. In fact, Jesus Christ, we're told, was homeless. He said, the foxes have got holes to live in, the birds have got nests, but the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, has got nowhere to lay his head. Jesus Christ didn't come from heaven for a life of luxury. Jesus Christ came from heaven for a life of poverty and a life of service. And we're told why. It says, so that you, through his poverty and service, might become rich. That doesn't mean that if you become a Christian, you're going to have lots of money. It means that if you become a Christian, you have riches in heaven beyond imagination, eternal life granted to you that we've talked about already. So why did Jesus come? It's very obvious. He came so that we can have life, and he came so that we can be, through his poverty, rich in heaven. Now you imagine if the Queen was to come out of the palace and live like a homeless person. Just get your head around that. Imagine she takes off her robes, she takes off her crown, not that she wears it all the time. She puts on, well, she'll probably have to go to the charity shop to get some old clothes. She puts them on and she goes and lives with the homeless people. She doesn't have bodyguards. She doesn't have, you know, people looking out just in case. She doesn't have, you know, go for a sneaky bath, you know, back in the palace every now and again. She lives as a homeless person 24/7. Now, you just imagine that. In fact, I heard a story this week. Actually, that's digressing. But she lives in the palace. But imagine she becomes homeless. That would be amazing. That would be astonishing that she would give up that to live and to live a low life on this planet Earth. But the King of Kings, the one who's above all, the one who made the queen, and the one who's given her power, God above, has come down and walked on this earth for you, personally, because he loves you, and so that he can give you life. Let's move on to our next question. The next question is this. We've looked at why on earth did Jesus come? Why on earth did Jesus die? Now, you might say, well, he was a man. All men die. But you know, the Bible tells us that only sinners die. And Jesus Christ, we're told, did nothing wrong. They couldn't find anything wrong with him. So why did the sinless Son of God allow himself to be put to death by the people he'd made? Why? Why on earth did Jesus die? Well, the Bible tells us this very plainly as well. It doesn't keep anything from us. Let's have a look at our next verse. It's found in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. And it tells us so clearly why he died. It says that Christ suffered once for sins, the just, that means he was good, he was perfect, for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. You know, we're told here that Jesus Christ suffered once for sins. He died for sins. Did he die for his own sins? Did he die because he was a criminal? There was two criminals with him. They died because they were criminals. He didn't, did he? He was without sin. He was perfect. And yet he died for sins. Well, whose sins? It's ours, isn't it? It's so clear. He died for our sins. He stooped down from heaven. He lived on this earth. And he died because of our sins. It says, doesn't it, the just for the unjust. It was like a substitute. You've seen a football player. One gets injured and they go, right, wheel him off and bring on one that's not injured. And you know, we're like that football player who's injured. We have sins. We're sinful before God. We're heading for hell if we stay as we are because we're dead in our trespasses and sins. And Jesus Christ says, you come off and I'll go on instead. You come off and I'll take your punishment instead. I'll take what you deserve, which is hell, isn't it? We're told in the Bible. And it says that he might bring us to God. Now, I'll tell you this story I was going to tell you before. The Queen came out of her palace one day and it was absolutely tipping it down with rain. Just torrents of rain coming down. And there were some damp tourists outside the gate, shivering away, looking through the bars. And the Queen comes out. And you know what she did? So I'm told, I wasn't there, but I'm only going on what I was told. She said, you come in and have a cup of tea. And she brought them in, and she gave them a drink and whatever, and warmed them up. Now just imagine that, the Queen coming out of her palace and taking you in and warming you up. Because it was cold outside. That would be pretty incredible, wouldn't it? But you know, what actually happened was, this isn't really anything to do with the illustration, they actually stole stuff while they were in the Buckingham Palace. They were invited in, and they rejected the generosity, and they stole irreplaceable stuff from the palace, and on their way they went. But you know, the fact of the matter is this, that if I turned up at Buckingham Palace now and asked to come in, there'd be not a hope of me getting in, especially if I opened my voice, opened my mouth and spoke. They wouldn't let me in. But you know, if Jesus Christ comes out of heaven, he can take us in. As I am in my sin, as I am as a sinner, there's no way that I can get into heaven. I can do as much good as I like, but it'll never get rid of that sin. And you know, Jesus Christ has come out of heaven. He's died on a cross. He's taken your hell for you so that you can go to heaven, so that he can take you home with him, like the Queen took those guests into Buckingham Palace. He's come, he's died, and he's done it for you. You know, it wasn't just a normal death. He didn't just have a little lethal injection and that was it, all over. When Jesus Christ died, he experienced pain that we can't imagine, physical pain. In fact, they offered him, we're told it was, I think it was myrrh mingled with gall. That was like a bit of a painkiller. Now, the Roman soldiers didn't offer painkillers to make it a bit of a nicer process. They offered it so that they wouldn't struggle as they try and nail them to the cross. And, you know, we're told that Jesus Christ tasted it, and when he knew what it was, he didn't want any. Why did he do that? He did it because he wanted to suffer the full wrath of God for our sins. He did it because he had a mission to save people like me and people like you. That's why he did it. And he didn't struggle. He didn't say, no, please, no. He put his hands out and he died there because he loves you. It wasn't the nails that held him to the cross. It was his love for you. It wasn't because he was powerless. He was still the Almighty King who had power to do whatever he likes. He did it because he loves you personally. You know, I've just been on a camp and there was a question in the question box. And it was basically words to the effect of, if there was only one sinner on earth, would Jesus Christ still die? If there was only one sinner on earth, would Jesus Christ still have come and died on the cross? And you know, I can't find any evidence in the Bible to say that he wouldn't. Because he loves sinners. And because we're told that Jesus Christ and God does not want any to perish, but to come to him for repentance. That's how much he loves you. He'd have died for you alone, personally, if you'll come to him for repentance. So, he's died, the just for the unjust. He's replaced, we're the ones who are supposed to be dying, and he's done it so that he can bring us to God. He's done it so that he can take us to heaven for eternity. So why on earth did Jesus come? To give you life. Why on earth did he die? To forgive your sins and to take you to heaven. Thirdly, why on earth did Jesus rise again from the dead? Do you believe that he rose again from the dead? Well, it's very simple. There's a tomb in Jerusalem and it's empty. It's been empty 2,000 years. Where's the body? It's nowhere. I'll tell you where it is. It's in heaven. We can't find it on this earth. And you know, Jesus Christ has risen. People were willing to die horrific deaths because they'd seen him alive. Now, if I was one of those disciples and I'd stolen the body and it was in my garage and they said, right, we're going to put you to death because of what you're saying, I don't think I'd suffer if I knew the body was in my garage, would you? You get it out, and they go, okay, no problem. You know, if the Jews or the Romans had the body, they could have pulled it out and ended Christianity like that. But you know, no one could produce the body. Why? Because he really had risen. And you know, it's not just the fact that Christ has risen. It's the fact that Christ is risen. It's on the wall behind me. There's a massive difference. You see, Lazarus was brought to life by Jesus. Lazarus has risen, but he's dead again. But Jesus Christ is risen and he's alive today. So why did he rise again from the dead? Why couldn't he have just died and then gone to heaven and waited for us there? Why did he rise again from the dead? Well, our next verse tells us, it says God, and I think I've got the reference wrong there. I have got the reference wrong. It's 1 Peter chapter 1. God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. That's why God raised him from the dead, so that your faith and your hope are in God. You see, we haven't got an empty faith. Some people just believe things for the sake of it. They believe that the world's flat, when we all clearly know that the world's not flat. Yeah? We're not just believing it for the sake of it as Christians. Jesus Christ really has risen. And so because of that, we have full evidence that we can put our faith in. It's not empty. It's not just believing it for the sake of it. It's believing it because it's true. Believing it because it's a historical event. That's why he's risen, so that you can have faith. You know, in 1 Corinthians it says this. It says, if Christ isn't risen, your faith is futile. It means a waste of time. In fact, if you read the older version of the Bible, it says, if Christ is not risen, we're of all men the most miserable. What a sad bunch of people we are. If we're putting our hope in someone who's dead, what a sad bunch of people we are. But you know, Jesus Christ is not dead. He's risen. And so we're totally the opposite from that. We're the most sensible people around because we're putting our trust in something that's true and in someone that's alive. You know, what is man's biggest problem today? And that's been since sin came into the world. What is it? What can man not beat? They've tried, and they try and prolong our life. But man cannot beat death. They can't. And so our biggest problem of death cannot be beaten by another man who's got the same problem as us. Imagine a blind man trying to cross the road, and he can't see any cars. He can't see, and maybe he's hard of hearing and he can't hear them coming either. He doesn't know when the cars are coming and he can't cross the road. Imagine another man comes up and he's blind as well. And he says, do you want me to help you across the road? And the other says, well, can you see? No. Well, that's not going to be much use, is it? If there's two blind men and the blind's leading the blind, the Bible says they'll both fall into a ditch. Yeah. You can't have two people with the same problem, one helping the other. And you know, if someone's got the same problem as us, there's no way they can help us with our problem of death. Jesus Christ has beaten death, and so he is the only one who can help us with death. You know, all the religious leaders of this world, you can visit their tombs. Muhammad, Confucius, you name them, they're dead. There's no way they can help us with our biggest problem of death. But you know, Jesus Christ is the only one who's beaten death and can solve your problem of death too. Why did Jesus rise from the dead? So that you can have faith and hope in God. It's not empty hope. It's not hoping that, you know, well, we really hope one day we'll go to heaven. It's hoping, and it's a knowledge that we're going to heaven if we're saved through Jesus Christ. But you know, this salvation, this heaven that we're talking about, how do we get it? Is it just default? Did Jesus just come and then everyone just heads off to heaven? Is that how it works? That's not how it works, is it? You know, if you stay as you are and you're not a believer, if you're not a Christian, the Bible says that you've got to pay for your sins yourself. You've got to pay for the punishment of your sins yourself. How do we do that? Well, I don't like telling you about this, but you know, Jesus Christ spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. And you know, the Bible says there's a place called hell, and it's a place that lasts forever, for eternity. It's a place of separation. You won't be with your friends. It's a place of torture. It's a place of torment. And you know, if you stay as you are, that's precisely where you're heading. But you know, Jesus Christ came, died, and rose again from the dead to get you out of hell. He took your hell for you. Why would you sit on that side of the fence if Jesus Christ has done that and you can move to that side of the fence. You know, you can't sit in the middle. Jesus Christ has died, he has risen, and he says, I'm going to come back and I'm going to take those who believe home and those who have rejected me and rejected what I've done for them, I'm going to say, depart from me. And they're awesome words to take in. So how can we have this forgiveness? How can we have forgiveness? How can we know we're going to heaven? The Bible says we've just got to turn to Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. What I'm not saying is you've got to pray a certain prayer, say these specific words, and you'll be there. You've got to come to Jesus as you are, ask him for forgiveness, and he will change you from the inside out. Yeah, you can't change yourself from the outside in. You've got to be changed from the inside out. Just to finish off, Ian read before, didn't he? Ephesians chapter 2. He said, by grace you have been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're trying to get yourself to heaven, stop trying. That's my advice. If you're trying to get yourself to heaven, stop trying. Accept the gift from God that he's given, and he'll take you there. That's as simple as that. And I ask you tonight, I urge you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Saviour, don't leave it any longer. Whether you're the youngest person here or the oldest person here, don't leave it any longer. Ask him for forgiveness. Ask him to take you to heaven when you die. And you know, Jesus Christ says he will never turn anyone away. Never. Jesus Christ doesn't discriminate. He says, you come to me and you're mine forever. It's that simple. And I would urge you tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ, humble yourselves before him. Ask him to forgive you. Turn to him with your heart. And you know, he'll never turn you away. You can do that right now. You can do that later. You can do that when you get home. But what I'd say is, the sooner the better, because we don't know how long we have left, do we?